Just over a month to go until the big day of the marching season, the biggest day, the 12th of July. In the lead up to that big day, the Orange Order, of course, are putting everything in place. It's the biggest day in their calendar. And the organisation is starting an initiative to try to tackle drinking and loutish behaviour at parades. The Order has said part of this push came from a challenge which was posed to them by the man who's on the line, commentator and writer Alex Kane. Alex, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Hey, Alex, you just seem to have had enough of the bottle and the broken bottle and the spilled bottle and the drunkenness on the streets, and you wrote about this, and the Orange Order have been referring to it at their press conference.
They have, yes. I wrote a piece, I think it was the 12th of July 2 years ago, and I'd been asked by the paper just that, because I used to go out and watch the parades, and I grew up, and I'm not in the Orange Order myself, but I grew up in an Orange background where members of my family were, and that was rural Armagh, places like that, which is a totally different atmosphere. So I went to Belfast 1-2 years ago to watch the whole thing, from the City Hall right the way through, and I walked just on the pavement, followed them up to the field, spent a few hours up there. But what I found, and just where you start Bedford Street, walk up Bedford Street, up Dublin Road, taking you to Shaftesbury Square, and just under the beginning of the Lisburn Road, I just passed to the Sandy Row entrance. It was just appalling, Frank, and that's what I wrote. I just said it was a desolate sight. There was drunks, mostly teenagers. Many of them looked to me between 12 and 14. Drunks out of their head, broken glass everywhere. The abuse that was being shouted just at ordinary people, abuse being shouted at police and so on. It was just awful. I remember thinking, I am so glad that I didn't ask some American friends over. I am so glad I didn't bring them with me that day, because it was just a horrible sight. And it triggered back all the memories I used to have from my childhood and into my teens, where the parades went by peacefully. You wouldn't have seen a bottle in sight or anything else. And that's what I wrote. I reflected that piece, and then at the end of it I said, you know, look, I have no difficulty with Orange Order parades. It's part of a culture. It means something to people. But for goodness sake, guys, you need to get to grips with this particular problem. And in fairness, yesterday, Martin Gibson, at a briefing, quoted part of the article and said, we accepted this challenge. We see people like Alex as critical friends. We accept it. And I just thought it's just a little sign, Frank, that they're not afraid to listen to people saying, guys, you could do it differently.
It doesn't come across like that on the TV. You know, when Walter is commentating and Helen Mark is doing the interviews on the side of the street, and I'm sitting at home with the feet up watching it, it always comes across as if people are having a very orderly day and the happy, jolly interviewees are, you know, 10 to the dozen coming forward. We don't see the drunkenness. Is it only in the return parade you have the drunkenness, or is there some of it earlier on in the day?
This was early on. The site I saw, I was there from about 9:30, right at the City Hall. I didn't go up to Carlisle Circus, which is where they kick off. So I waited at the City Hall. There were a lot of tourists standing there. I interviewed some of them. You know what it's like, Frank. You stand writing notes or filming something, and people start coming up to talk to you. And then I just thought, from that point, I'm going to go walk. And was that just where you start on Bedford Street, where the band turns up in the City Hall through Bedford Street and start walking up there, Shaftesbury Square and so on. That's what it was. And this was about 11:45, 12:15. And there were hundreds. It isn't just like a little knot of people. There were hundreds of people, quite literally, out of their tree at that stage. And abusive to ordinary people. But what's true, just outside the BBC, just at the Armagh Road and Bedford meet, where, they, as you said, the film crew, Walter, sitting up there very nicely telling us how wonderful it is. Yes, there's a hardcore of people who gather there every year. They're very civilised. Helen seems to know quite who they are, and then you move on again and you're back to the... And it's not trouble in that sense. I just think it gives a very bad impression. And I'd heard this before when I wrote the piece. A number of senior Orange men contacted me and said, they said, that's always a problem spot, Alex, both there and on the way back. And they acknowledged, even that's 2 years ago, they acknowledged then that there was... And it's that perception where photographers are down from local newspapers and maybe other media. They can't help it. We're in the news business, Frank. You go where you think there's a story. And it wasn't just me, it wasn't just an isolated Alex Kane writing the story. This was something that was reflected in stuff that the Orange themselves had noticed. Because let's face it, they're not just going to go, oh, Alex Kane's written an article, we must do something about it. It was almost like somebody saying, guys, I'm not opposed to your parades, I have no difficulty with any of this, I'm just telling you from a personal point of view, I was uncomfortable. In fact, I felt intimidated just in that particular maybe three quarters of a mile. And they, if you saw their stuff yesterday, Frank, they're recognising that. They recognise. That's why they brought the PSNI, the Public Health Authority. They recognise there's a problem there, particularly with the young hard drinkers.
So they've got this slogan which reads, "It's about the battle, not the bottle." Will young people buy into that? Or is it, you know, there's a very rude cliche about the 12th which just crossed my mind about underwear, and I'm not going to
use it. That's not a good idea.
But that is what that's the image that the 12th has for many people. It's just let your hair down, go buck mad.
Absolutely, and I think that's what the Orange are trying to tackle. Because it's true, we also live in this, people call it the era of social media, which means that perception is everything. One photograph tweeted can go to thousands, tens of thousands of people within, you know, half an hour. One vine of somebody throwing a bottle into somewhere, that just goes so quickly. And that's the perception the Orange are trying to deal with. They have enough other problems, and this is not tied in. They have the Twaddell, the Drumcree, the parade in disputes. It's all part of them accepting. And I think that's why this is so important, Frank. It's the Orange Order accepting. It's something they wouldn't have done 10 years ago, you know, from an outsider, because everything was, oh, we're dealing with this internally. Oh, we'll sort this out at our own level. It's the first time they've very publicly said, you know, and I was at the briefing yesterday, and they had Public Health Authority, they had the PSNI, they had journalists, are very openly saying, look guys, we accept we have a perception problem. And interestingly, Mervyn Gibson also said, it's not going to happen overnight. This is not going to change just on the 12th. And we know there'll be people coming along to say, oh, look, your whole campaign's fallen on deaf ears. Oh, it's just as bad as ever. It'll take a few years to turn this around. I think it may seem like a small step to a lot of other people who say, oh, those kids who turn out will never change. But I just think, Frank, sometimes in life, and particularly in Northern Ireland, something that seemed impossible even 10 years ago, when you look at each incremental change over the years, you suddenly go, my goodness me, it has changed. And I think the fact that they know that they have to deal with it, the police will help them, the Public Health Authority will help them, maybe the Orange guys themselves will help, and just say a few hands around a few shoulders. Maybe talk. One thing I did see 2 years ago, and I'm not naming names, but I saw children who were clearly underage going to bars and coming out with booze. That's going to have to be dealt with as well. That's going to be monitored. And the Orange Order did talk to the, I think it's the pubs of Northern Ireland. They talked to people who were responsible for selling booze and so on. I think gather all of those organisations together, and maybe, just maybe, it'll take 2 or 3 years, but they get a grip on it. And I just think, from their point of view and from all our points of view, that's a positive thing.
Yeah, we can't blame the Orange Order, of course, if someone's selling drink to the underage. But
the trouble is, you can't, Frank, I agree, but the trouble is, It just becomes the one thing. You just, oh, Orange, are they just, is she down there just full of
drunk? Of course,
they're
tarnished by it. Absolutely tarnished by it. Now, you keep emphasising in the commentary there, young people, 12 to 14-year-olds and underage, etc. Over the years that I've been doing this programme, people have been complaining about drunkenness generally, and it's not necessarily youngsters. The older clientele seem to be well-oiled on occasions as part of the march. And the spectatorship.
Oh, that's true as well. I did in the original article, I did mention that, but I said what disturbed me. Well, two particular things disturb me. And I mean, I've got a teenage daughter, so it's one of those things that, you know, as a dad, it triggers a thought in your head. It struck me that a lot of them were young, but it also struck me, and that's what I wrote, the disturbing number of them seemed to be young girls as well. Now, somebody, an old hand who I know from an Orange man I saw passing, I'd taken a little break, and he said, some of these kids, Alex, have been up since, they've been up all night, they've been around to the bonfires, basically. They just come from wherever the bonfires were, straight here, they're here at whatever it is, 8 o'clock in the morning, and they've already been fueled on burgers and more booze and Buckfast and so on. But yes, you're right, it isn't just the young ones. I did see older ones. I saw what appeared to be whole families with moms and dads and teenagers all appeared to be, you know, knocking back the booze and then throwing up around them and so on. I just think it's this whole perception thing. And the other thing worth bearing in mind, and Mervyn Gibson said it yesterday, Frank, I think you probably talked about it in your show in the past as well, it's a societal thing. It's almost everywhere you go now, which involves crowds, the police will tell you there's usually booze involved as well, because people can just go to off licences. There are rules all the way from, I think, from the city centre all the way up. There are signs everywhere saying, those blue signs saying, you know, drinking on the street is illegal. You will be fined. I think even the Orange leaflet's going to say you can be fined by order of City Council £500 if you're doing this. So it's going to be the most difficult part of all this to the Orange. It's not only inculcating members and supporters that stand in around boozing. It's not the best message to send for what's supposed to be a big tourist cultural event. But
it's this part of the world, Alex. It is. It's Northern Ireland. It's what we do, whether we're orange or green. St. Patrick's Day is exactly the same. I see John has been calling. He says, would you have the same stance on St. Patrick's Day? I'm darn sure you would.
Yes, exactly. I mean, well, I wrote about the St. Patrick's Day thing, oddly enough, this year. And said it just because I used to, when I was at Queens, I used to live in off Fitzroy Avenue. So that area now, which is now every St. Patrick's Day, seems to be knee deep in broken bottles and broken windows. That actually hurt me as well, Frank, because I remember living there. I remember that when that was large, a small mixture of students mixed with a very large indigenous residential population who all got on really well. I mean, it was a beautiful mix, and then you just watch it being destroyed. And it's the same with the Orange thing. I'm not in the Orange. I have no big hang-ups on where the other any of these organisations. But it does disturb me when so many tourists come into Belfast for these things, when so many people looking at our city and do have pride and do love. I love Belfast. I've lived here for about 30 odd years. I love this city, and the hell with the politics in one sense. I just hate it, Frank, when I walk around. I mean, I was at the Thanksgiving parade in New York a few years ago. Something like 1.5 million people on the street, okay? Within an hour of that parade ending, you wouldn't have known anyone had been on the streets. The streets were spotless. I didn't see any sign of drunkenness. I've been in parades in France, Nice, Paris, the big, you know, Independence Day things. And yet, for some reason, it just seems to be... I think there's something about Belfast. It just seems to be, you got a broken bottle, throw it in the ground. You know, you got a burger, just throw it in the ground. You know, got stuff, you want to vomit somewhere, just vomit there. I don't know. And just the fact that
off my hymn sheet here, Alex. You are singing off my hymn sheet.
It does upset me. You know what I mean? I'm 60 now, Frank, and I've been in this city 35, 40 years, and I love this city, but I just hate to see this young culture thing of somebody else will clean up, somebody else will sweep up. And I think if the Orange is saying to people who are coming out to what, which they are in their leaflets, you have a responsibility. What you do affects what people see. Every negative headline, every bad story, it's usually driven by some idiot or some bunch of young idiots or older idiots who just don't seem to realise you can't talk about your culture and then whether you're Protestant, Catholic, whatever you are, and then be surprised if you throw up all around you that somebody gets a photograph of that and you become the problem.
Would they have listened to a nationalist commentator if he or she had written what you had written?
I don't know. I'd like, oddly enough, you know, I like to think they would because
they wouldn't. It's because you wrote it.
Interestingly, you know, you say, I mean, I wrote it. I mean, in terms of the Orange Order, I'm an atheist. So for a religious organisation, the way difficulty, I don't support the monarchy. I think they responded to the piece because it's a critical friend. It's someone who said, I have no hang-ups. My father was a former county grantmaster in Armagh. The family, the Allens from that part of Down Armagh, Rich Hill, they're a well-known Orange family. They know I'm not involved, but I'm a critical friend. But I've written in the Irish News about a time about St. Patrick says I have no hang-up about that either. But seriously, if you're going to take over an area I used to live in, please have some respect for the residents who still live there, respect for, just remember the damage that you youngsters are doing to an area of Belfast and also doing to a time. I remember St. Patrick's Day years ago when people did go, whole families went. It was a much smaller scale, but whole families went. Now they don't. And even in the Lisburn Road, when you watch Orange Orders, I remember when I first came to Belfast, whole families, grandmothers, grandfathers, youngsters, kids, flasks of tea, sitting, you know, applauding politely as bands went by. That's gone, and it's been replaced by a different type of culture. But in replacing it with that type of culture, I think these people are like realizing that they're going out to have fun and lose it, as you say, you know, let their hair down. But in doing that, they're spoiling the fun for so many thousands of ordinary people, and they're also doing huge knock-on damage to the organisations involved.
Hard to argue with what you're saying, Alex. Thanks for coming on. Thank you.
Pleasure. Take care, Frank.
That's Alex Kane from a unionist background. He said relatives, grand, county masters and all of that.